Three, two, one. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. So join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code Sullivan20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in the Shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxers as free gifts to give to you to keep all your goodies stored nice and comfortably to go along with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside that Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2023 looks to be. Cheers to new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Sullivan20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that promo code Sullivan20. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code, Taskmaster, to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard-working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code Taskmaster to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer. Welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I am your host, JP John Paz. With me, of course, to star of the show, the former ECW and WWE World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing excellent, JP. How are you, my friend?
Very good. Have you been keeping up with the wrestling world lately? Have you seen what's been going on?
Oh, about the sale and different things?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
What do you think? Where are you leaning? Are they definitely going to sell? Who are they going to sell to? What do you think?
You know, we think about this. After this is going to be WrestleMania 39, correct?
Yes.
they've become the most sought franchise in sports, except maybe for the Yankees. I mean, we're talking baseball, you're talking NFL, you're talking NHL, soccer, boxing, UFC. Look what how far they've come in such a short time. I mean, everything else is 100 years old. Football's 100 years old. Baseball's much older than that. NHL is probably 75 years old, as we know it, maybe 100. And to come this quick to that kind of money, I think usually you'd say you're not sure, but there's too much smoke not to be any fire on this one, I think.
Who do you think would be the best person to sell it to? Would it be Saudi Arabia so they can go private? Would it be Comcast since they own, or not own, but they have the rights to the Peacock stuff right now as far as the network? Or what do you think?
I think it's going to be the person with the most long-range vision, because prices are not going to go down for content. And prices for winning content definitely aren't going down, so whoever comes up with the money is going to be the winner, I believe.
When you look at it, too, it's like there's so many like betting sites out there. This person is going to win. There's no way nobody, any of those people really know. I mean, nobody knows, right? Like where it's going to go and who it's going to sell to?
No, who knows? They don't probably even know. That's why it's taken so long. They're really analyzing this, I'm sure.
What do you think, though? Will Vince stay in control if he sells? Or will it be he's just going to retire and go off into the sunset?
I think whoever buys it is going to keep Vince and Hunter in place.
Ooh, what, like why, though? Why do you think? Just because that's going to be a part of the sale? They're going to need wrestling people in there?
Well, they're going to, I mean, who are they going to get to step in those positions? I mean, they've done a remarkable job. I mean, I know people like Vince, but come on. They're talking $6-7 billion. 39 years ago, they had their first WrestleMania. I mean, yeah, they're going to have somebody to teach them the ropes. I mean, maybe not be a lifetime job, but it's going to be a 4 or 5 year job.
It's one of those. One of those things, they're going to need wrestling people in there, right? I mean, you would hope.
Hope in that, you know, 4 years from now, they bring Vince to 81, right? 82.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll ride off in the sunset.
Man, it's crazy to think of a world or a WWE. I know we talked about this before without Vince. I mean, since I've been alive, he's been running WWE. So it's crazy to think of a world without him. But obviously, he's getting up there in age. I mean, He's almost Flair-like, where we're saying he's Dracula, the guy, he's never going to die. I mean, his mom lived to be 101. So, I mean, who knows with Vince how long he's going to live.
Yeah, yeah. That could be true. Could get his mom's genetics.
So when you just look at the landscape of wrestling right now, obviously you've got WWE, you've got AEW. What do you think? Can a third company come alive, like an Impact Wrestling come to fold, or those days gone? It's too niche nowadays for wrestling.
I mean, were there ever really three major companies? I mean, ECW was successful for a small area, but you got to have a very good income from some kind of network or streaming service. I don't think anybody else can compete right now.
So you don't think ECW was really the big three, was really just the big two?
Well, you tell me. How many times did they go outside of Philadelphia, and were they successful when they went?
They were pretty successful when they went down to Florida. I mean, Ohio, no. They've had successful areas.
No, they weren't successful in Florida.
You don't think so? When they went to like Kissimmee and stuff, when they had the pay-per-views down there?
Kissimmee. How many people do you think they had in Kissimmee?
Oh, it was less than 5,000. I know that. I don't know the exact number, but it was definitely wasn't a huge.
I actually went to, when I was working with WCW, went over to see Paul when he ran in Tampa. They were nowhere in downtown Tampa. They were at the fairgrounds. And in Fort Lauderdale, they were in a building, but everybody draws in that building. You know, it's a very unique building. It's right downtown in Fort Lauderdale. You can walk down there. But it only holds 3,000 people. They didn't do any $20,000, $30,000.
No. I think the most they ever had was 6,000 in Pittsburgh or something like that.
So how can you think that's successful? You know what I mean? Because you got talent to pay. You know, it just, they had a chance at one time, but something with them not getting that TV deal really hurt them. Not saying they weren't successful, and I worked for them, and I don't think they weren't knocking on the door. But once you don't have a TV deal, it's very difficult.
And when they were on TNN, that channel back then, it wasn't the juggernaut it grew into when WWE was on there, or when they turned into Spike TV. It was a very, very small promotion. They did, obviously, they were kind of like AEW numbers. They were doing less than 1 million viewers. I mean, they weren't doing much when they were on TNN either, towards the end.
Right. So it was very difficult to have three companies. And the other thing was, both companies were stealing guys from them.
No doubt about it.
When you know you got democracy sword over your head, it's hard to deal with that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You build the guy up, you know he's going to be taken by one or the other. It's very difficult.
Yeah, Taz, the Dudleys. I mean, you guys took, you know, a bunch of guys eventually. Yeah. Raven, Saturn. I mean, it eventually was going to happen because you guys could pay.
And Vince was taking them too.
Yep.
Vince was taking them too. Bam Bam. I mean, he took Taz, right?
Yep.
He took the Dudleys. I mean, he took a lot of guys. So, you know, you're getting two other companies poaching from you. It's very difficult.
Now, the guy I want to talk to today actually falls in line to what we're talking about there. And the guy is Eddie Guerrero, the legendary Eddie Guerrero. I want to talk about his time at WCW. The thing is that it's so funny that I think is a false narrative about Eddie was the ECW thing. Everyone goes, oh, Bischoff poached him from ECW. What's the truth behind that? Was Eddie, do you think, poached from there? Because Eric always says he went to New Japan when he was trying to, you know, nurture that deal with New Japan. He saw Eddie over there with Benoit, and that's when he fell in love with him. He didn't really watch ECW, didn't know too much about ECW. He had you guys to tell him about ECW, but he wasn't very familiar with it. What is the truth? Where did Eddie come from?
Well, if Eric says that, then I got to believe him. I mean, he's not going to say, but I knew somebody was in his ear about those guys, and I made the call to Paul and said, we're going to take the guys, and I'll give you 6 weeks.
And what does he say? I mean, he's mad or he's okay?
There's nothing he can do. He knew those guys were going to make money. I mean, it boils down to this. You have to take care of your family. So, I mean, I understand. Well, didn't they hoot Mick Foley out of the building? You sold out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What did Mick say to them?
He bought in or whatever he said?
No, he said to them, I'm doing this for my family.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, okay, makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so. Yeah, people would love to be loyal, but you can't live where you got to pay your bills on loyalty.
That is true. It's very important for your family, you know, make as much money as you possible, because who knows how long or short your wrestling career is really going to be.
Right. And he told me to get them, and there was Malenko, Benoit, and Guerrero, and I called Paul, sold them. And he probably saw them in New Japan because they worked there quite a bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
So he probably saw them there.
and they setting the world on fire in New Japan, especially especially Eddie and Benoit. I mean, man, they were having classics over there with all those guys. So Eddie is in New Japan. That's where he says he sees him. The funny thing is, like, the kind of false narrative is Benoit was in WCW in 93, so a lot of people were familiar with him in 93. Malenko was in WCW, him and his brother, a little bit in 92, and kind of in and out. So, I mean, there are guys in WCW that were familiar with those guys, and even Eddie back in 91 was in WCW. And then if you go look in 1989, I know we talked about this one before, wrestled Terry Funk, and it was supposed to be Jobber versus Funk, and it didn't turn out that way. It was actually a good competitive match. I know, obviously, Funk ends up killing him, but a great match with Eddie and Terry Funk in 1989 for WCW.
Right, right. And that was Terry's idea to make the match spectacular. He wasn't going to job Guerrero out. His father had worked for his father.
Pretty funny to, like, you see, like, wow, who is this unknown? Who is this kid? And Funk is making him look like $1 million. I mean, Eddie was great anyway, even back in 89, he's still pretty good. But it's funny, it's like, wow, Funk, this is the number one heel in the company. He's really making this damn kid shine.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you like that, or you're like, eh,
let's... Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, I have a really soft spot for second and third generation guys. I mean, their family have been in it. Yeah, and think about this. Terry's dad, Dory Singer, and Eddie's dad, Gory, worked together. They were in business together. He ran El Paso for Dory. So what is Terry going to stiff Eddie? No, he's going to make him look as best he possibly can. And he wants to showcase Eddie, and he wants to showcase his talent too. What better way to do with it with Eddie Guerrero?
When is the first time, like, you saw Eddie or really met Eddie? Was it all the way back then, or was it later on?
Oh, well before then. In early 80s, and he came to Tampa to visit his brothers.
What did you think of him then? Like, oh, this kid, he'll you know, he's not that, obviously then, but as he started to mature, did you think he's definitely going to make it in the business?
Well, he wasn't wrestling back then. He was a very young boy. But all the Guerreros could work. I mean, Mondo was very good, but he got into the movie business. Hector was always a good hand. Chavo drew a lot of money in Texas. He drew a lot of money in L.A. for years. Him and Piper had one of the biggest feuds in the wrestling business. So, I mean, they were well established.
You don't think they could do that feud today with Chavo and Piper and some of the stuff Piper was saying, right?
Oh, you can't. The whole world's different. You know what I mean? You can't say any of that stuff. The stuff Piper was talking about, I mean, you go... This is how different the world has changed and so rapidly. We've talked about it before, The Office, that we're going to make the remake of The Office.
Yep.
And that was, what, 10 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking Piper was in the 70s, so we're talking 40 years difference. They couldn't remake The Office, so we go back to the 70s, you definitely couldn't have any of that on.
I saw online somebody posted something and, like, oh, they were getting so much trouble today. Michael Scott in The Office, and, you know, he was talking to Craig Robinson. He's one of the black guys that works in the warehouse. And he goes, do black people like pizza? And, like, this is banned today, you know, like, whatever. And then all of a sudden they cut the next scene and they're all eating pizza together. And Michael Scott's, like, shaking his head. I was like, man, like, nowadays people would go nuts if they aired something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And the other one, do you remember when they got the merge with the branch from, was it Stanford? And that he was putting them up on a table, and there was a really obese guy, and he was pushing them up on the table.
Yes. Yep.
Come on. And then the thing about the Puerto Rican kid that was in The Office, what was his name? That was the accountant.
I forget his name. Yep, I know what you mean. Yep.
Oscar, wasn't it?
Yes, Oscar. Yeah, yep.
And, you know, they make gay jokes. I mean, come on. This is a whole different world.
Yeah, that show wouldn't be allowed. Piper Chavo, yeah, that we'll never see that in the light of day of that stuff again, for sure.
No.
Have you ever seen the JBL Eddie Guerrero feud that happened, obviously, well after? It was like 2005-ish and 2004, 2005, when JBL feuded with Eddie Guerrero?
I saw some of it, yeah.
Remember when JBL went to the border and was beating up, quote unquote, beating up Mexicans and saying like they were not coming over, and obviously trying to really play on the fact of Eddie's heritage. But that, even that was at 16 years ago, 17, 8, whatever years ago. That is was really pushing. I thought that was pretty ballsy.
Well, I'm not sure if people thought like that back then.
No, not at all. No.
So, is it going to get stricter, or is it going to loosen up, or who knows what's going to be acceptable and what's not? I mean, I look back sometimes and cringe at some of the things I see from old movies and old TV series. It was like, what were these people thinking?
I do remember Brock Lesnar coming out with the you know, La Cucaracha, and he wore the hat, and when he was feuding with Eddie too. So it was always kind of, you know, pushing the boundaries. I guess wrestling tends to do that a lot. Tug at the heartstrings, if you will. Really get people invested.
Well, we've always had followed the culture, but we've always been 20 years behind. You know, think about this. In the 70s, we still had Nazi heels, right?
Yep.
We still had Japanese heels. I mean, you know, we just always seem to be behind in social norms.
Always doing crazy stuff in wrestling to get heat. I remember, obviously, Slaughter and Hogan. Slaughter turned on America, and they said he's burning the flag. He's, you know, he's desecrating America. Even during the Iraqi war, he's getting death threats. It's crazy business.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've pushed the envelope as far as they can push it sometimes. And sometimes you're doing something, you question, is this in good taste, though? You know, there's a lot of things that the wrestling business has done that's been questionable.
For sure. So when Eddie returns in 95 to WCW, obviously with Dean and with Chris, the whole thing is Nitro is there now. So that element of needing good wrestlers in the program is paramount, right? I mean, you really need good wrestlers in the program to keep the eyeballs on you guys.
Yeah, and we wanted to be a different product. They were more cartoonish, and we wanted to be more wrestling. And then when you brought in the luchadors and blended those people, wow, that was something.
So was he initially thought of like, hey, we can use him for the cruiserweight division, or that wasn't really a thought as of yet of like what you wanted to do with him? Because eventually, obviously, it'll come down to him being a part of the cruiserweight division. But was that a thought when he was originally there, or no?
Well, I knew he was going to be champion or something. But when I made him cruiserweight champion, I made him U.S. champion at the same time. Are you aware of that?
Yes. Yes.
So I wanted the people to know that the cruiserweights could wrestle like they did in boxing. Almost. I mean, you could go back to Jack Dempsey. Almost every light heavyweight champion fought the heavyweight champion for the title. You know, Bob Fosse fought Ali, right? Michael Spinks won the title as a light heavyweight champion. I wanted to kind of take away that stigma. I changed the title from junior heavyweight to cruiserweight. I didn't ever like that junior heavyweight. And I got rid of that. So I wanted it to be, this guy can be the cruiserweight champion, but he can contend and win the world heavyweight title.
I love that too, because when the cruiserweight division was originally thought of, and Benoit and even Otani and all those awesome guys, eventually Six will be in. I mean, a bunch of awesome guys. I never, or Malenko, Mysterio. I know I never thought about it as like, oh, these guys are smaller. They're just in a, you know, they're just pushed over here for a little bit, but they're having the best matches on the card. So right. It probably is better to call them cruiserweights, because WWE called them light heavyweights. And I know I don't particularly like that name either, for whatever reason.
I think it's, if something in front of it takes away from heavyweight, you know what I mean? It's like they're not quite good enough.
And with Eddie too, as soon as he comes in, to me, it's like a lightning bolt as it gets added to the promotion. Because, you know, you had a lot of older guys. I mean, Hogan and Savage and those guys. You infuse the roster with Benoit and Eddie, and these guys are like, wow, WCW has name recognition over here and star power. But over here, they got the best wrestlers in the world, and they're young, and they're hungry, and they're going to put on the best matches. Is that a thought, too? Like, almost like the buffet. Oh, great names, good wrestlers, have a little bit of everything.
Absolutely. Okay. And I've heard the knock that the younger guys didn't get into the flow, okay? Right? Haven't you?
Right. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Tell me how Hogan could have worked with those guys.
Ooh, I don't know.
Tell me.
So I guess it would have to have been when Hogan was feuding with Billy Kidman, if Eddie was still there, I would have somehow put Eddie in a feud with him. I don't know how you built a feud, but I mean,
the point is that Billy Kidman thing was a
horrible,
was not a rating getter, right?
No, it was horrible.
Were the matches good?
I didn't like them. No.
How would those guys who could move work with Hogan?
I guess they could bump around for him, but it would have to be a certain dynamic, yeah.
Well, if they bumped around for him, wouldn't they be
jobbers? Kind of, yeah, I guess, in a way.
I know, would they show that they're very small?
Well, that too. They would look very small against Hogan. Look how small Kidman. I mean, Kidman's pretty small anyway, but he looked like a midget compared to Hogan. Jeez.
So where I'm going with this, and when they first came in, they were going to have resistance. But what do you think would a guy that have creative control would have done to them?
Oh, he's squashing those guys big time.
They were going to get there because they were great performers. But being young, you want it now.
Yep.
Okay, how would they have worked with Nash?
Going to have to be that little man stuff like Mysterio. Just go after his legs the whole time and chop down the tree, I guess.
Okay. So if they all do that, does Nash suffer?
Well, of course he's going to look like, hey, I'm way bigger than this guy. It, cosmetically, it looks like I should squash this guy with my boot.
So does Nash suffer?
Yes.
So the hottest thing you got is the NWO. Do not become a wrestling fan when you're booking. You know what to me is a good worker?
Who?
A guy that puts an ass every 16 inches.
So Hogan's the greatest worker of all time.
Well, maybe not the greatest of all times, but everybody, we're symbiotic relationships are very important. Is we live to make the unit whole. It's like a beehive. You can't. And what would you have done with those guys who were stealing the show every time they were together, and you put Ray and Hoovy and the Ultimate Dragon and the rest of the guys together, right? What would those other guys been worth to you once they got involved with the cruiserweights?
Maybe not as much.
Would they have been able to hold off the whole WCW like they did?
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Yep. But I do think Hogan could have had good matches with Benoit and Eddie a little bit later on, not early on in the NWO, but like later on. Because, I mean, we've seen Benoit have good matches with Sid and guys like that.
Later on. But the thing was, they should have been shoved right away. No. Because the other thing is, you were paying some guys $2 million and a guy that's making $200,000, and the guy with $2 million is going to go to the boss. Who are you going to protect?
Got to protect the guy making the most money, the investment.
It's a lot more intricate than people think.
Yep.
If it was on wrestling itself and not charisma, yeah. If it's on a combination of both. Some of them, when they first came in, weren't great talkers. Am I right?
No, definitely not good talkers when they first came in, no.
Okay, and later on, some of them didn't improve that much.
No. Eddie did, of course, but not Eddie, most of the guys.
Eddie was the exception to the rule.
Yep.
What do people watch wrestling for? Violence and interviews.
Yep. Male soap opera with violence. Yeah.
So if you can't do The View, you got to work that much harder. And if you have to work that much harder, you have to show your compadres that you are exceptional. And they did that. But you can't do that overnight. And if you did it at the beginning and the ratings fell, what do you think would have happened?
That Booker's getting axed. Hey, why'd you make that decision?
Not just the Booker. The talent is going to have to really dig themselves out. And especially the three of them at the time were babyfaces. So the company's been built on heat. You're going to kill all your monsters off with three guys that are very great performers, but right off the bat, when you just got the fold out of the cow, and it's just starting to limber and get up and shake itself off, you're going to let it be born in a wolf factory? No. Come on.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah.
I mean, people that talk about, well, I do this, I do that. If it was based on wrestling, yeah. But there's so many factors in it. And again, people don't understand the other financial factor is how long a contract is and how much it's for.
True. Very, very true.
I'll give you an example. The three of them's contract was not one fourth the size of Nash and Hall's.
Wow, really? That's a good chunk of change there for Hall and Nash.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when they first come in, though, I feel like, obviously, you know, they're going to wrestle on Nitro in 95. And just, I don't know, kind of get everybody's attention. Just like, wow, these guys are great. They're phenomenal. If people follow them in ECW or really New Japan Pro Wrestling, people were familiar with how good they were.
But I'm gonna interrupt you there.
Yep.
I don't believe anybody knows what goes on in New Japan back then.
Just the tape traders. Yep.
Nope. What are you? So you're dealing with 250,000 people at that time?
Maybe less tape traders, yeah. Okay, yep.
So you're banking that 250,000 people across the country are going to know what's going on.
To me, when Eddie kind of catches my eye anyways, like he's one of the last 10 guys in World War III. So it's like, okay, that's pretty cool. Like, it's like, okay, you know what I mean? Like slowly building him up. Cause obviously the last guys in World War III, it's like the Giant, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Randy Savage. I mean, big names. So I was like, wow, look, maybe this guy, Eddie's got something. So that's when I kind of started paying more attention to him just for the fact that he made it to the final 10 that year.
It was a slow build.
Right. You even in Starrcade put him in the WCW team. Starrcade 95, it was WCW versus New Japan Pro Wrestling. Eddie fought Shinjiro Otani. He loses to Otani, but WCW wins 4-3. They win the best of seven. They win the World Cup of Wrestling. It was Savage, Luger, Johnny B. Badd, Sting, Benoit, Alex Wright, and, of course, Eddie. So pretty damn good seven guys for Team WCW. It's pretty awesome that Eddie was able to make it to that team.
Yeah, and he rightfully deserved it. He deserved it. He had one of the best matches on the thing. I am the biggest proponents of those guys because without them, I don't think WCW would have made the impact it did. But you got to understand the nature of psychology of guys in the dressing room.
And there's a pecking order, even to the fans, the pecking order, for sure.
Yeah, and here's something that I heard of one time, someone mentioned. They were talking about Nash, right? And, you know, how he kind of knocked the little guy, supposedly, right? And somebody says, well, none of us have his perspective. None of us see what he sees just walking around. He's 7 feet tall. I never thought of that. Think about that.
But when the booker is a quote-unquote vanilla midget, right, like the other guys, he's got to be a little bit smoother with that when he talks about those guys like that, though, no?
What do you mean by that?
Like when he called Benoit, Malenko, and Eddie, he goes, I'm not losing these vanilla midgets, these guys, blah, blah, blah. Like him kind of demeaning them for being smaller, but you as the booker are their size, so you're like, wait, I'm small too. Like, so it's kind of, you know,
but
maybe you need to be smoother.
I never saw myself as small. In my head,
mm-hmm.
6'2", 300 pounds. But I understand, too, though, where he was coming from. Did he use the right words? No. It was like there was a lot of psychological warfare back then, too. Here's these guys for our numbers. And there's a 250 screaming fans saying, get the other guys on top right away. Get the other guys on top right away. The guys get defensive. You know, it's crazy how fragile wrestlers' egos are.
And the guys are all paranoid, right?
Back then, yeah.
So as Eddie's making his way up the ranks, going to feud with Conan a little bit. You have a U.S. title match, doesn't get the win, but then he starts having a little feud with the Horsemen, a little bit of a feud with Flair. They have a match at Hogwild. Pretty damn good match. That's like a big step up in competition. Like, if you think about it, yes, he's a great wrestler, but now he's getting name recognition guys. I mean, huge name recognition guys.
So
right, getting to share a ring with Ric Flair.
Is he moving up?
Oh, he's moving on up. Oh, big time.
Okay, so why do they say they're held back? Why do people say they were held back?
I don't know, really, because to me, not really. Like, if you just look at their career, like, look who, you know, I mean, look who's wrestling stuff. To me, not really. I know WWF, he was ultimately the world champion. Could have got there, maybe, if he would have stayed. Obviously, Benoit was the world champion if he would have stayed.
Oh.
It's one of those things.
They got the belt and left the next day.
Right. It's a false narrative again with those. Yep, for sure. So then he starts a big feud with DDP. He eventually wins a tournament for the vacant WCW United States Championship. He, of course, defeated DDP in the finals at Starrcade 96, which was a huge show, great show. So there, that's a big leap. He's U.S. champion. He beats DDP. He wins his tournament, basically solidifying himself at least upper mid-card for sure right there.
Well, more than upper mid-card. Knocking on the door.
Yeah.
He's wrestling Ric Flair. He's beating Paige. He's won the tournament. Was in the team. He's knocking on the door, my friend.
He then beat Scott Norton. He's beaten Jericho at Super Brawl. He has that big ladder match with Six that I love. Great ladder match at Sold Out. So one of the few guys on that card that, you know, getting a win, too, over the NWO.
Let me ask you something. Who did he just beat on a ladder match? Wasn't that an NWO member?
Yes. At their own pay-per-view. It Sold Out.
So he beat him at their own pay-per-view in a ladder match, and he beat an NWO member, a founding father of the NWO? Mm-hmm.
Six-pack, yeah.
So they're being held back?
I don't think so. I think that might be a false narrative, but yeah, I agree. Yeah. Ends up losing the title to Dean Malenko in 97, but in 97, Dean Malenko, Wrestler of the Year. So, I mean, that's not a big loss there.
He just passed the belt off to one of his guys.
Yep, yep. When you look at Eddie at this point, did you like him as a babyface? Because eventually he's going to, I know he's...
I liked them either way. I liked the three of them either way. I mean, these guys were very, very talented guys. I mean, you got to realize they went to Japan and they were very, very over Japan. And their style sort of was a blend. Let me ask you this. Don't you think their styles were sort of blended like Bulldog? They were very similar to Bulldog's work.
Just like Dynamite Kid, very similar, yeah. And Bulldog, yep, yep.
Yeah, I mean, Dynamite Kid is who I'm getting at. So they passed this test over there. I knew they would draw money, but you can't just drop in and there's a settling down phase. It's almost like a courtship. Do you know what I mean? It's like watching an old-time Godfather movie where it shows Michael Corleone goes to Sicily. He meets the girl. He has to ask for permission to see her. They go on walks together. It's the same way back then. You can't just drop in people that nobody really knows and think they're going to blend in with the guys, because the perfect thing is the guys got to respect you, and they respected all three of those guys because they would give them great matches.
And to me, I know I loved Eddie as a heel here because he started doing the slicked hair, starting to have a real attitude. He's starting to get better on promos. I liked him as a heel, especially as we move into 97 and late 97, beats Jericho for the Cruiserweight Championship. Then he has that feud with Rey Mysterio, which was just off the charts. You know, it's title versus mask. Really, really good stuff from Eddie. I loved him as a heel. Really got to show a different side of him, how versatile he was as a performer.
Yeah. He was one of the greatest performers I've ever seen.
Why do you say greatest ever? Nothing he couldn't do?
Oh, he could do anything. He could. I mean, and you got to realize him and Art Barrow were huge draws in Mexico. One of the biggest draws ever down there, right?
Gringos Locos, yeah.
Yeah. So how could you go wrong? How could you go wrong with the three of them on your team? Cat.
Halloween Havoc 97, one of my favorite matches ever, one of the best matches ever. It was title versus mask, Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero. Man, what a classic. I mean, if anybody hasn't seen that, I don't know what's wrong with you, because you should have seen it. But man, that match is unbelievable with Eddie and Ray.
Yeah, I mean, and now, you know, now you're blending these other guys. Now you're getting people to follow you because of your product, not because of characters, which is very important, I believe, because then if you give them good wrestling, you can give them some bullshit after that.
With Eddie, really Starrcade 97 is just a terrible show, but him and Malenko had really the only good match on it, or the really only really memorable match on it, which is pretty appropriate given that those two are two of the best. And of course, in 97, two of the best in the business. I just always kind of look back at that. It's like, man, thank God that those two are on the card. Otherwise, I don't know if I would remember anything besides that Hogan Sting finish.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So then Chavo starts coming to the mix, and we obviously his nephew, and we start to see that feud. Did you like having Eddie and Chavo together more, or you like having them feud more? Because to me, they were very entertaining feuding with each other.
Yeah, they were entertaining feuding with each other, but my mindset is I'm not big into family fights.
Yeah, it depends. Sometimes not. Like if it's Steiner versus Steiner, I wasn't into it. Hall versus Nash, I wasn't into it.
No, you weren't into that one, right? And they're not brothers.
No. Nope.
Okay. The Spinks brothers, they never fought, right? The Paul brothers, they have laughed at that fight, right?
Yeah, Klitschko's no way. Yep.
Come on.
Would never happen. Yeah.
No.
And it's funny, their nephew and uncle, but they're were close in age. So it's almost like they were brothers.
Yeah.
Chavo and Eddie.
A lot of people thought that too. They're that close in age.
Because Chavo Classic is a lot older than Eddie. So obviously his son, which is Chavo Jr., is close age with Eddie, even though they're their nephew and uncle, technically speaking. They're more like cousins or more like brothers as far as their age was concerned.
Yeah, more like brothers. Yeah.
And it's funny, Chavo Jr. got into the movie business just like Mondo, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
So what did you think about the LWO, the Latino World Order?
Hate it.
Whose idea was it?
I heard it was, who was the guy that was the actor that was involved with WCW for a while? Jason Hervey.
Oh, Hervey. Oh, really? Okay. Interesting.
I heard.
Didn't seem a bit much. NWO Wolfpack, NWO Hollywood,
horrible.
LWO.
It was horrible. I wanted it to be the four guys, Nash, Hall, Hogan, and Six, and maybe Steiner. It never should have gotten any bigger than that.
And forget about it. LWO is all the luchadors and all the Eddie as the leader, but
it was horrible. I mean, how much can you take?
And I wasn't a big. It was just too much at that point. Like, how many world orders does WCW need?
Yeah. It watered down the NWO completely. It was the end of the NWO.
So apparently, at this point in time, he was talking about how bitter he was towards not being a top guy, frustrated. You know, we're kind of talking about it. It almost seems like, I don't know if he kind of really should have been, considering there's so many other top acts there. He is wrestling some of the top guys. He is U.S. champion at a point, but apparently he was very frustrated and went to Bischoff about it, and he said he wanted more of a push. He wanted a raise, this and that, and this is where it kind of gets funny or maybe a little murky. Bischoff supposedly threw coffee at him. What do you remember that story, and do you remember what really happened with that? That
I never heard about that till years later. I have no idea.
So Bischoff says, and no reason not to believe him, but there was coffee, and he was pissed, and he just knocked it, and it, I guess it got on his shoes or got on his legs or something, but he knocked the coffee, and it went off the desk because he was frustrated with what Eddie was saying. Then, of course, the story got like, he threw it in his face. And, you know, it, of course, the change, as wrestlers tend to do, tell stories. But Bischoff says, knocked in the floor. He may have gotten it on him, but he definitely did not throw coffee at him. No way.
Let me ask you this. If Eric had thrown coffee on Eric, Eddie would own TBS. Do you know what kind of lawsuit he could have had?
Yeah, yep.
Come on. TBS folded on every lawsuit. TBS folded on every lawsuit. I just found out yesterday that Hardbody Harrison had that discrimination suit. All those guys got $1 million on that.
No way, really?
Holy yeah. Shit. Yeah.
Oh, did you run into Hardbody Harrison?
No, he's in prison.
Oh, who am I? Oh, I'm thinking of Hard Work Bobby Walker. I was thinking of, that's right. Harrison's in trouble for sexual conduct or whatever. Yeah. Sexual misconduct. Yeah.
Slavery.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was kidnapping too, right? Yeah. Not a good guy. But yeah, all those guys got money from that.
Yeah. So if Eric had thrown coffee on Eddie on purpose, what do you think Eddie would have had?
Big time lawsuit on his hands.
Yeah, come on. I mean, I don't know why people don't think before they respond. It's like what's happened to the country now. We have two completely different sides of the country, right?
Oh, yeah.
But they just parrot what they other want, what you believe. You know, you just talk to people that believe the way you do. You're not going to talk to the people that you don't have something in common with. So it's like when people say, I mean, I just in the knowing Eddie, if Eric threw coffee in Eddie's face,
he would have killed him.
They were a huge fight. I just don't understand. Is that an Eddie quote? Or is that someone quoting Eddie?
Somebody's saying that story that he threw coffee at him. Yeah. Eddie was basically saying that he did get coffee on him, but I don't think he ever clarified if it was thrown at him or not. So somebody just kind of took the ball and ran with it. I don't know who it was, but somebody kind of took the ball and ran with it.
Hey, and you know what we were talking about back then, about the guys? Now we got those guys. We got Raven's Flock. We got Chris Jericho at, to me, some of his best work. We got Rey Mysterio, Hoovy. We got some great talent.
Some of the best in the world, easily. Maybe the best in the world. Yeah.
So, I mean, those guys were an integral part. Now, financially, should they have been taken care of? Yeah, definitely. And maybe they should have been talked to in a different way, that the future is yours, you know what I mean? But unfortunately, that didn't transpire.
So Eddie gets in a car accident New Year's Day, 1999, kind of cuts the LWO storyline short. Maybe for his betterment, kind of cuts that short. He makes his return to WCW May 31st, 99, and he becomes a founding member of the Filthy Animals, along with Rey Mysterio Jr. and Conan, obviously his real-life buddies. So what'd you think about putting those three together? That's a pretty dynamic trio there.
Yeah. This is Kevin's idea now, I believe. This is 99, almost.
Yeah, you're kind of the co-booker here, yeah.
Yeah, this was Kevin's idea, yeah. You know, and Kevin was for them too, and you know, I don't understand the resistance people say about Nash. He put Rey Mysterio over, right?
Yes.
And Conan was a very dear friend of his, right?
Yes, big time.
And all the Mexicans were. Where's the beef? I don't know.
Very strange at that point. Yeah. Did you like the name, the Filthy Animals, though? Or did you think, like, that's kind of a weird name?
Whatever they wanted. I mean, you know, guys were creating their own identities at the time. Filthy Animals, what are you going to name them? I mean, do you find anything about that wrong?
No, it makes me think of Home Alone. Remember when Macaulay Culkin goes, "You filthy animal"? That's what every time I hear that's what it makes me think of.
Okay, yeah. Maybe they got it from there too. Who knows?
Could be. It's a funny line or whatever, funny quote in that movie for sure. So, you know, they're feuding with Revolution, who had Benoit, Shane, Saturn, Malenko is a good group. They're feuding with Deadpool, who is Vampiro, and ICP. And, you know, they're kind of just, you know, doing their thing and kind of coming in and out. And Russo is then in. And then, of course, we talked about this before, then those guys in the Filthy Animals, Barry Flair in the desert, kind of giving them a good look, kind of giving Flair a not-so-good look. I know we've talked about that before. That was horrible, but yeah.
That was appeasement. That was, you guys, I'm on your side. Here's a guy that was the flagship of WCW, right? 16 times world champion, and you bury him in the desert like roadkill.
Hated it. Absolutely. I still hate it. And it's funny when somebody, Conrad will bring it up to Flair. Flair like flips out. He still hates it. And that was, God, 24 years ago. He's still like pissed about it. He probably didn't want to agree to do it, but you could tell it still bothers him. Because the symbolism, you know what I mean? They're burying him. Yeah, it's terrible. Can't do that to Nate, the god of wrestling. Can't do that.
And it was done by a guy that became the world champion, right?
Mm-hmm.
He became a world champion, the guy that decided.
Yes. So it's funny, he gets, depending on how you look at it, he's kind of let go here in early 2000, and you're brought back, and Eddie then asks for his release, along with Benoit, Malenko, and Saturn, to go to the WWF. At that point, when you were brought back, was there heat with you and Eddie, or what was going on there? Why you get brought back and he wants to leave?
It was not until I put the belt on Chris that they decided to leave.
So they never talked to you about heat or anything like that?
Nope.
Had you ever had issues with Eddie before that?
Nope.
So it's just kind of like Bischoff had some issues with Eddie, obviously. You know, they had not a fight, but, you know, they were yelling at each other and stuff in the coffee incident. So you never had, like, an incident like that with Eddie ever?
No. Eddie and I knew Eddie since he was 16 years old.
Very strange that, like, I know the Benoit is their boy, and you and Benoit had some heat. I mean, we had a whole episode dedicated to this. So if anybody wants to go back to the archives, we have a whole episode on the Radicals. But it's interesting that, like, you're back in power, Russo's gone, and then these guys, they want out. They don't want the old guard. They want something else. They want something new. But you gave Benoit the title to placate him, and Eddie, Benoit, Malenko,
Sadler. It wasn't that I just gave it to him. He tapped out Sid Vicious. Wasn't a vanilla midget that night.
No. Nope. What did you think about Eddie's exit, though? I mean, obviously, we've talked about the other guys before. What about Eddie's exit? Were you pissed?
No, they were going to do what they were going to do. So, nothing you can do.
Did you think to yourself that's going to be another nail in the coffin, WCW losing these guys?
Yeah. How do you replace those guys? Yeah.
Because to me, I know people will say whatever they want to say, but Austin was hurt at this time for WWF. Undertaker was hurt. So there's two of the biggest guys in the company are gone. And it's like, okay, we need some talent infusion here. They infused Benoit, Malenko, Saturn, and Eddie, the WWE champion, and three great wrestlers into the roster. It's like, shit, like what an infusion.
But they didn't make them champions right away.
No, nope.
Quite a while.
Benoit 4 years later. Yep.
Okay, so.
And Eddie 4 years later, too. Yeah.
Okay. So, 4 years prior to this, they had achieved the world title.
Yep. See, that's that always, and I love talking to you about this. Obviously, you know, I don't get that it's okay to happen to WWF for them to wait 4 years. WCW, it's not okay. We want to push quicker. Why is that?
I have no idea. Have no idea.
Does it play into financially? Maybe they wanted more money. That had a
problem. That has to be it. And insecurities. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But it took them 4 years to get the belt when they got it 4 years prior.
To me, it always baffles me because, I don't know, I would have loved that Benoit stayed. And obviously Eddie, too. WCW, I mean, what a roster they would have had with Benoit leading the charge. I mean, I'm a huge Benoit guy. So, and I know you, we've talked about this before. You're a big Eddie guy. You think Eddie's even better than Chris. So,
yeah, and Chris too. But Eddie could talk.
Yeah. And it's funny too, when he develops, and obviously later on when he wins a world title, once he develops a Latino Heat character, he's one of the most over guys on the roster by far for WWF. People still loving Latino Heat to this day whenever it's brought up. They love that gimmick. They love the angle. They love him hitting people with the chair and then pretending he got hit and then laying himself out. I mean, they love all that stuff.
Yeah, he is special.
What would you say if I said, what's the legacy of Eddie Guerrero? Just what would you say?
Latino Heat. It was very over, very strong character.
Do you regret losing him?
Oh, of course. I regret losing Aldo. I just gave the world title to a guy.
Yep.
Had a guy tell me in the dressing room, I have both of them in there, and I say, Sid, I'd like you to put him over with a tapping out. He said, I wouldn't do it for anybody else but for you. I don't think it's right, but I'll do it.
Wow.
He gets the belt. Thank God he didn't go there with our belt.
Yep. Was that a fear?
No, I don't think it. I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, it was such a... He wins the belt. He gives it up the next morning. I don't know. Or whenever he gave it up. I don't know.
I guess he dropped it off at the office. Yeah, thank God he didn't bring it with him. Like, yeah, that would have been...
Yeah, that would have been folded up shop, brother.
Would have been a catastrophe.
Yeah.
So I think that's where we'll button this one up. We'll end it and head towards the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. You can follow Kevin on Instagram at Taskmaster Talks. Kevin, what else you got going on?
Well, I'm off this weekend, so I'm going to do a little fishing. So,
ooh, nice.
Have a good time. Thank you.
Yes. What kind of fish are you going to be catching out there?
I'm going to go tapping fishing.
Where at?
The Keys.
Oh, your spot, your favorite spot.
Yeah.
Are you going to be hanging out with Desperado Joe Gomez at all?
No, Joe lives in Tampa.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I know he's big down there, but yeah, true.
Yeah.
But thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We'll see you right back here next week for a little Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.